and place dependence in prayers upon our Lord to help us. I shall pray for attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and the first part of verse 15. John chapter 21, the first part of verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thou this?" So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee?" It's the beginning of the 15th verse of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. It had now been several days, perhaps several weeks, since Jesus had been crucified and had risen again. In the time between his rising and his ascension, when Jesus was crucified, the Lord Jesus had spoken concerning Galilee. At the time when it was, as we call it, the Lord's Supper, when Jesus took wine and he took bread and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He then spoke of how he would go before them into Galilee after he was risen from the dead. It doesn't appear that they understood what he meant. On the day that Jesus did arise from the dead, the disciples, in great fear of the Jews, were in the upper room to where they fled. And the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. They found the stone rolled away, as we are told, and looking in, one account speaks of an angel in white, another speaks of two in white, sitting at the head and the feet of Jesus where he had laid, saying, "He is not here but risen." "Remember as he spoke to you when you were in Galilee. Go tell my disciples that he goeth before them into Galilee." So they went to tell those disciples, hiding as we were in that upper room, and they did not believe them. It seemed to them as idle tale, so they remained in fear, hardly venturing out from that upper room, lest the Jews should take them also and put them to death. Yes, dear friends, although they were in fear, unable to return to Galilee because of that fear, the Lord Jesus appeared unto them. Oh, how merciful, kind and gracious ever was the Lord to those whom he loved. He knew their frame, he remembered they were dust. On the same night as which he rose from the dead, in that room, the doors being shut, for fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared in their midst. said, "Fear not, peace be unto you." No condemnation, no accusation. Just a revelation that this was Jesus alive, following his death, where he had given his life a sacrifice for sins. Oh, dear friends, what a change and joy of heart that came to them on that occasion. You know, even those, that joy, what came to them, there was still at least 1 week while they remained there. Because Thomas wasn't with them, and we read in the previous chapter that it was 8 days later that Jesus appeared again in the same manner and appeared unto Thomas. But dear friends, they had been strengthened. They had been made bold. And they did go. What was it what made them bold? Well, when Jesus appeared unto them in that upper room, having taken broiled fish and a piece of a honeycomb to show that he was not just a spirit, as a ghost, as that meant. He was a real Jesus, the same as was crucified. He spoke unto them and says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Then opened he their understanding. His death. The giving of himself a sacrifice for sin. The outpouring of his soul unto death. The bruising of his heel. Oh no, dear friend, what a bruising that was. His body broken. As he was crucified, the flesh which he'd assumed, brought down to death, the bruising of his heel, but not his power, not his head. There was the bruising of Satan's head, the crushing of Satan's head, that he had lost his power, and he could do nothing more now. To harm the Lord's people, unless the Lord gave him permission to do so. Oh, well, this must have strengthened them. Yes, now to obey that voice. I go before thee into Galilee, and there ye shall see me. And so it came to pass that they went to Galilee. Jesus having disappeared from them. We're not told how, but and went to Galilee, and so at the commandment of the Lord. Well, dear Francis, when we understand the Scriptures as now and know the truth concerning the power of God and of Christ, that we're delivered from many fears. And to obey his voice, his good hand to be upon us, to shield and defend, that his words shall be fulfilled. He would go before them into Galilee. There they would see him. They wouldn't be lost on the way. Nothing would assail them. Oh, like when Ezra returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. That great long journey which took 5 months. They had all those riches given to them for the sacrifices and for the temple. Oh, they prayed for the Lord to keep them and guide them. And, they would not ask of a soldier's escort from the king of Babylon, from the king of Persia. And having committed themselves to the Lord, over 3 days fasting and in prayer, knowing then that the Lord was with them, they ventured, and so they came safely to Jerusalem. Oh, dear friends, the voice of prayer and the presence of the Lord and the power of his word, what a help that is, isn't it, in life's pathway, delivering us from many fears. When these disciples came to Galilee, they did not find Jesus immediately there. You know, the Lord works in his own ways, doesn't he? We can't, often perhaps we presume this, we can expect that and say this is likely to happen, but it doesn't. We do read in the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the end of that first epistle, that after these things, Jesus appeared unto 500 brethren at once. It is thought that was in Galilee, where most of the brethren were to whom Jesus had testified in the ministry of his gospel. But that may be so. His disciples here, to whom he had already appeared twice, were looking for his appearing again. And whilst they waited, Simon Peter and Thomas and Didymus, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John and two others, were there together, and Peter says, I go fishing. That was Peter's occupation, wasn't it? They needed food, no doubt. Peter had a wife there. Oh, Peter had been away from his wife a long time, hadn't he? You can perhaps make many comments upon that. Peter had said, Lord, I have forsaken all and followed thee. What a constraining Peter had to be dedicated to the way the Lord would have him follow him, putting the Lord first. But we'll come to that again, perhaps in a bit later. I go fishing. I return to my own work. We need that food. Perhaps he needed the income from it as well. So they went that night, and they toiled all night, and they caught nothing. Because that wasn't the first time they'd done that, was it? When we read in Luke chapter 5 how they toiled all night and caught nothing. But here, having gone the same way, and in the morning they saw one on the shore of the sea and calling to them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And that person on the shore said, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and thou shalt find. They obeyed his voice, and they caught a multitude of fishing boats. And John said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Oh, he had cause to say this, didn't they? Like when they'd been and toiled all night, caught nothing before. Jesus had been teaching on the seashore, and there were so many that Peter asked to get into Peter's ship and cast a little bit from the land. And he taught the people from the ship. And when he ceased, he said to Peter, launch into the deep, let down your net for a draught. That means a net of fishes. And Peter said, we've master, master, we've called, toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. You wonder what was going through Peter's mind at the time. One can't see much purpose in this. We've toiled all night. We'd be most likely to catch the fish. Not in the daytime. but we will let down the net. And they caught again a multitude of fishes that they had to call for help from James and John's ship. And they both began to sink. That means the weight of the fish caused them to be lower in the water. And Peter came unto Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, I am a sinful man. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know, that's the first time we read of Peter calling Jesus Lord. Before that, he was Master. Here was one far greater than he had known before. Here was the Son of God, truly so seen by his great miracle of the fishing. Oh, Peter, a fisherman, but this one was far greater than he was. He could cause these fish to be caught, Peter could, and fell at his feet, "Depart from me. Lord, I'm unworthy to be in thy presence. Thou art far greater than I am. I am a sinful man." Well, dear friends, you know that's quite a good place to come, to acknowledge Jesus as far greater than our own selves. The Son of God. The Son of God made flesh to be the Son of Man. But ever one with the Godhead. Oh, in all power given unto him. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." No, Jesus would not have him depart. He said, "I will make of thee fishes of men." And Peter followed the Lord Jesus. Left all and followed him. Now here, toiled all night, caught nothing. Now this multitude of fishes. John saying, "It is the Lord." Oh, Peter now didn't say, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." No, he jumped into the water, girding his fishes coat about him. Oh, he wanted to get to his Lord and Saviour. Not just Master, the one who had not condemned him for his great sin. Oh, dear friends, it was when Jesus said, at the time of the Lord's Supper, "I will go before thee into Galilee." Peter had said, "Lord," because Jesus had spoken about his death, his resurrection. "After I am risen, I will go before thee into Galilee." Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to thee. Go with thee unto the death. I will never be offended in thee. Wilt thou never be offended in me, Peter? Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Oh, that great sin of Peter. In fact, the others forsook him in fled, to hide themselves in that upper room. Peter, bold that he was in himself, followed to see what would happen to Jesus. But when he was accused, oh, the weakness of his flesh, he must save his own flesh. He cannot say he was one knowledgeable of Jesus and he was one of his disciples. No. He loved himself more than he did Christ. He loved his own self more than anything else, loved himself more than the truth. Denying his Lord with oaths and curses. Oh, dear friends, what fear can bring upon us, can't it? In times of danger, times of distress to our bodies. You know, we can throw no stones, as it were, at Peter, can we? We will do our utmost to try and get out of such dangers, difficulties and troubles. Peter, even with oaths and curses, swearing. And then the cock crew. Jesus remembered, Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And wept bitterly. Dear friends, do any of you know what it is really to weep bitterly over your sin? Not just because of what it may have affected other people, the consequences of it. But in what you've done, you've denied your hope and belief in Jesus Christ. You've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, you're a guilty, filthy sinner now in his sight, only worthy of the judgment of death and of hell. This is where Peter came into the depths. No doubt he returned to that upper room. And dear friends, perhaps those in the upper room, when they saw him and learned what he'd done, they may have had pity upon him. They may have tried to console him. But they couldn't forgive him. They couldn't remove the sin from him. He was dead in trespasses and in sin. And he wept bitterly. Oh, dear friends, when those women returned and said Christ was risen, no, they didn't even believe them. I think it's Mark Gospel tells us that when those on the Emmaus Road returned, they didn't believe them at first either. Oh, but when Christ appeared, risen from the dead in that upper room, oh, that was different. This was Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. And they came to realise the love of Christ, Peter, especially, the love of Jesus for him, that his death was the carrying of his sin down to the grave, which he deserved to die in trespasses and in sins. Oh, there to be no resurrection, but to the grave and hell to swallow him up. But Christ, pouring out his soul unto death, showed them his hands and his feet, the physical injuries, as you might say, and the shedding of blood that caused him to die, and to cry out, "It is finished." And to rise again to give newness of life for all those that he had died for, and to appear unto them, "Because I live," he said to them, "because I live, ye shall live also." Oh, what love, redeeming love, payment of the price of his sin had been paid. Now they, Simon, would have rejoiced, and he did rejoice. Such that when, dear friends, he came to the time when on the sea, John said to him, "It is the Lord," he jumped out from the boat. He heard that cry before, hasn't he? When they were toiling in rowing on one occasion, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus wasn't with them, and Jesus came walking on the water. And they cried out for fear, and Jesus cried out, "Be not afraid, it is I." Peter said, if it be thou, not the fullness of faith and knowledge, but he wanted it to be proved, "Bid me come to thee on the water." And he got out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come." And oh, he had taken many steps, hadn't he, when he saw the wind boisterous, and reasoning in his mind, leading to his own understanding, he lost any faith to go to Jesus on the water, and began to sink. "Oh, ye of little faith," says Jesus, "wherefore didst thou doubt?" And he cried out to the Lord, "Save me," and he did. But now there was no question. He must get to that Lord whom he loved. Never mind about the water now. Never mind about the fish. Never mind about anything else. He wanted to be one with his Master. No, his Lord, his Saviour. You know, dear friends, when one has been pardoned of their great sins, their desire is forever to be in the presence of their Lord, to know his presence within their heart. That love shed abroad in their heart of Christ. By the Holy Ghost, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no greater love than that. And so they came, they dragged those fishes, and Jesus says, "Come and die." Nobody dares ask who Jesus was because they knew it was him. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Jesus looked at Peter. "Lovest thou me?" Oh, the Lord Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But dear friends, he needed this special confirmation of a testimony from Peter's heart. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now what were these? We're not told. But they'd just been dining, they'd just been eating. They'd just been having that fish. The fish which they'd also caught themselves at the command of Jesus. "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" That which is vital for your bodily needs, your body, your food, the fruit of your own endeavours as your employment. Do you love me more than these vital things? Oh dear friends, what a question. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Our earthly possessions, that which we're able to do through our skills and abilities. We haven't got those of ourselves, it's given to us of God, isn't it? That what we're able to do and put our hands and minds to and manage and control and to obtain the means where we can provide for ourselves and our loved ones, or our own. Our whole life, as it seems to be, taken up with these things. Necessary things for the good of our bodies. What a question. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Dear friends, what a question for us this afternoon, isn't it? We do love things of this earthly life, don't we? Of course we do. And it's right that we are doing love things. We love our families, we love our children, we love our parents. Trust children, you do, and your brothers and sisters, and the wider family, and we have friends who we get on well with, and we love their presence and praying and doing things with them, and we love people for the truth's sake, those of us who believe in God and be led by the Spirit. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Oh, they can do much for you. They can give you much comfort and enjoyment and peace and prosperity here upon the earth. They cannot do anything for your soul. The soul was born dead in trespasses and in sins. And no matter what our earthly blessings might be, given to us of God, for the good of our bodies throughout our life, from the day we are born to the day we die. And none of us can deliver us from the judgment day. "Depart from me, ye cursed, having never known the love of God through Christ shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost." The purpose of the Godhead to save sinners, chosen, called, justified. Oh, dear friends, what a question we must answer. Where is our greatest love? You know, when Peter knew this mercy of the Lord Jesus to his soul, the appearing of Christ in his risen power, I'm sure within Peter the things of the earth grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now some time had gone by, maybe only a short time, a few days, maybe a few weeks. But Peter returned, "I go fishing," and easily can return, can't we? Oh, a sense of the Lord's pardoning love. And then we turn again to worldly things, the necessary things, the evil things. Oh, let us pray we never come to like Ephesus in the Revelation, where Jesus says, judgment offered, thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Oh, dear friends, what a question there. To try us where we are this afternoon. Lovest thou me more than this? It may not have been those fish. It may have been the other disciples. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Or the Thomas, who called unto Jesus, my Lord and my God, after he doubted his resurrection? More than Nathanael, who had said at the very beginning of his call, thou art the Lord, the Son of God. We read it at the beginning of John's Gospel, don't we? And so on, we can go on. Lovest thou me more than these? These disciples, dear friends, were the ones whom Jesus loved, the same as Peter. For they forsook him and fled. But they never come into the depths of the sin of Peter, who denied his Lord with oaths and curses. And we read, don't we, where Jesus said in one place to Simon the Pharisee, for that those who is forgiven most, they love him most. Those who are forgiven most, they love him most. Lovest thou me more than these? Oh, Peter, I love thee. I pardon thee. This great depth of thy sin. You were worthy of condemnation. For that which Judas had to suffer because of his sin, there was no repentance and there was no love and mercy to Judas. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Strengthen the brethren through that depth of love which thou hast known on account of the depth of your sin. Strengthen the brethren. And the Lord gave him, didn't he? Well, first of all, he gave him a card. Come on, feed my lambs. Your words teach. Teach of my love to you, to others. The love of Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Three times Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And as we know, as Peter had denied him three times, he had to testify three times that he loved the Lord. Finally, Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I love. You know, dear friends, when we have these numbers, they're not just random, are they? Just an aside. Yes, I mentioned three here, three. But when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he said to fulfill all righteousness. And he was baptized in the River Jordan. Buried, signifying the death he should die. And when he came up from the water, signifying his risen power, rising from death. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, was the testimony from heaven. And after that, there was 40 days. Jesus was tempted of the devil. From the time of Jesus' burial and the time of his resurrection, there was then 40 days to his ascension. Where was the temptation of Satan now? He was silent. His head had been bruised, his head had been crushed, his power had gone. There was nothing now he could tempt the Lord Jesus with. His power had been overcome. Oh, there's not one of those temptations of those 40 days he could repeat. Christ was the victor. And Christ would ascend again triumphant to his Father, having fulfilled the work he gave him to do. Satan would now not be able to tempt, the Lord's people unto death. Yes, he will tempt them, he will try, he will lay many a difficulty and a stumbling block. To desires to have the Lord's people, sift them as wheat, as Jesus said. but he won't succeed. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Now ascended on high, led captivity captive after those 40 days. Satan defeated. Jesus said to Peter 3 times, "Lovest thou me? Now knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." In other words, Peter had to go forth, as Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me in the way I have called you to go." Yes, he was to preach and the gospel, wasn't he, of Christ Jesus to all the people in Judea, became the head of the church there. Well, dear friends, it doesn't mean to say everyone's got to go forward and preach. Yes, the disciples did. Of course, Jesus commanded them, "Go forth into the world and preach the gospel." But dear friends, if we love Christ for his love for us, and we can answer that question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" The love of Christ is more than the love we have of the things of this earth. A greater love hath no man than that. And it's a greater love within our hearts. And Christ gave himself a sacrifice for our sin. Then we are to walk in love as Christ has loved us. We to be a witness of that love. We to seek to do that which is his will. We to walk in his ways, to do his commands, whatever those commands may be. And one of those commands is to love one another as he hath loved us. To walk in love, then there's no division and strife then, is there? That's the spirit of Christ. The spirit of love. And dear friends, where there's no spirit of Christ, you are none of his. That's very solemn, isn't it? Oh, what a then, how important, dear friend, is the answer to this question. Lovest thou me more than these? Anything else here upon this earth? Christ first and foremost. Christ our all and in all. To obey his voice, all his will esteem. Yes, his word to be a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path, his revealed will. And then there's his sovereign will. That what he speaks directly to our hearts. This is the way, walk ye in. The way he would have you go to testify in whatever way that is. Could be in a particular occupation. Could be in a particular location. In a particular church. Do this in remembrance of me. Dear friends, there's many things where the Lord may direct and lead his people. For those whom he hath pardoned, as it was said to David, he said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And dear friends, in love, may we be submissive to his will. His pardoning love esteem. That Christ is all and in all. The chiefest among 10,000, as the scripture says, the altogether loving one. Because he gave himself a sacrifice for our sins, all of them. That there's not one of them left that has not been put away. Through the power of his shed blood, the sacrifice for our sins. And dear friends, let me leave this question with you. Oh, may we meditate upon it in our hearts. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas," that's his earthly position, son of Jonas, "lovest thou me more than thee?" More than these. Yes, in the flesh he was the son of Jonas. Through Christ. Oh, he was beloved. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestows upon such people, that they are called the sons of God, made like Jesus, one with him. Then doest thou, dear friends, love the Lord our Saviour more than the things of this earth. lovest thou me more than these.